Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batra. Gordon Chang, at Gordon G. Chang, my colleague and co-host and friend. And we're off to Malaysia, the Southern Hemisphere, tropics and growth. Charles Ortel of Sundays with Charles joins us from Penang, part of the Malaysian group, part of the Southeast Asian miracle these last years, because we're transforming a culture that is unknown into one that is high energy, great investment, a lot of money coming out of China flowing into Indonesia and Malaysia, and a prospects of more coming. In fact, Charles tells me he can see it being built right nearby, towers rising out of jungle or pleasurable beaches. Charles, I build you up, but you deserve it. So we're going to take you to China immediately, not the success of Malaysia and Indonesia, but the decline of China that you've watched these many years as an investor and a commentator. The most recent example, Gordon brings to my attention again, something called Vanke, a troubled property giant, is the polite way London puts it. Money's running away from Xi Jinping, so much so that genuine private agencies that judge a monthly and quarterly measures of China's index, especially real estate, are suppressed by the regime, not to put their numbers out because it's that bad. Have you always known this, Charles? And does everybody in Malaysia and Indonesia know this, and they just don't talk about it? Good evening to you.
Good evening to you both, and thanks for having me on. Yes, I think the story on China has always been one where you have to hold your nose and accept premises that astute investors normally don't accept. And the idea that if you're going to buy shares in China, that you don't actually, as a foreigner, own the underlying shares, you own synthetic shares, or you own shares that in theory duplicate the performance of the Chinese shares, is something that I just don't buy into. And therefore, I've never really had an interest in any direct Chinese securities. But when you on top of that, say in this age where there's so much information available about so many things instantly, that your government policy is going to be to not provide essential numbers to investors as they try to make investment decisions. I mean, that and the long line of problems that we've seen watching Gordon's excellent work over decades and other skeptics of the China miracle paint, I think, a very dangerous picture, just as AI ramps up to replace a lot of human labor everywhere, including in China. So who's going to buy all this real estate in China?
Gordon, you have a question for Charles.
Charles, you live in Penang, which is a large island. It's been a magnet for money. If you can talk about the money coming into where you live.
Sure. It's an interesting place. It's a smaller version of Singapore, which Singapore didn't really exist before 1965. And New York City in 1965 was, you know, a gigantic place in New York State, teeming with private sector activity. Look what's happened. Low in these 60 years in Singapore. The same sort of stuff is going on in Penang. Penang has more land than Singapore, and it also has fresh water, something that Singapore doesn't have a lot of. And in the case of Penang and in Malaysia, forward-thinking high-tech companies, Microsoft, Intel, many others, have been investing here for a long time. So foreign investors have confidence here. This is a private, this is a place where the private sector is much bigger than the public sector. And people in Penang and in Malaysia have no tolerance or less tolerance for corruption and AOC green scams. So these are people who work 6 days a week, some 7 days a week. It's not just a real estate-based economy. There are all sorts of industrial-type companies invested here and other companies invested here. People work hard. It's family-oriented. The population is growing. The school system is good. The healthcare system is good. And one thing that I like about Penang is that it's a diverse population. Yes, it's 50% or so Chinese origin people, but there's a large Indian slice. There's a large Western slice, and people get along.
Gordon, I want to puzzle about the real estate in China and what investors make of these non-numbers that are being published. This is a crisis for any economy, and I have to presume it is for the Chinese economy as well. Why is it that we get reporting on the front page of the Wall Street Journal and in Europe that wants to emphasize things such as AI access or growing for the future, or leaps ahead of us in quantum? Or the one that I loved yesterday is their exports are up exponentially, not mentioning the cheaper renminbi. Why do we still get buy-side Chinese news? Who does that help, Gordon?
Well, it certainly helps Wall Street, and it helps the Chinese as well. But the big story in China is not one which is attractive or sexy. It's one where you look at the fundamental parts of the economy. Now, high tech in China, very impressive, but it only accounts for, 6 to 10% of gross domestic product. The problem for China is that there are some big holes in the middle of the economy, property being one of them. And property is a problem because it once accounted for somewhere between 25 to 31% of GDP. Now it's below 20. And the problem is that there's just too many apartments, perhaps enough apartments, vacant apartments to house 1.4 billion people. That's according to a former senior statistics official who was talking at a public forum in Guangdong, which is close to Hong Kong. So China has a problem that it can't really deal with. And so you were seeing companies like Vanke, which was once considered the best run Chinese property developer, now asking its bondholders for more time. And the only reason why it's still in business is because the government can't afford to have another big property developer go under.
And Charles, your comment right now about China being the engine of growth in Indonesia or in Southeast Asia or in Australia because they were customers for ore and resources and trade was blossoming. That's gone away, Charles. Has Southeast Asia, has Australia, have they accepted the fact that it's not coming back? The future is not the past.
I think the status quo elites in Europe, and in Australia and other places that trade with China, many of those people and the apparatuses around them have all been bought off by China. So it's pretty easy to buy off these people. You contribute money to their nonprofits. You hire them various ways. And so a lot of the legacy influence shapers, particularly the publishers, the people in academia, they've all been fully invested on the idea that with 1.4 billion people or however many people China has, that's you're looking at the future. And they, you know, if we have any kind of democratic rule over globalist institutions, China deserves to have the upper hand. So people, you know, signed off on the idea that China is going to be the next leadership for the world for centuries. And are willing to concede that leadership role now, even though China hasn't demonstrated and now apparently refuses to demonstrate that it's capable of taking that role economically.
And Gordon, right now, would you say that what we're talking about, a failed China, is just not mentioned anywhere, including the U.S.?
Well, it is mentioned, John, and I think that it's starting to be mentioned because people can see some of the numbers and they can see money leaving China, and they can see people leaving China. And the other thing is China's new belligerence, much more so than in the past, And that has gotten a number of publications and a number of analysts to start to question China's direction, as Charles just mentioned.
And Charles, do you see intimidation, blatant intimidation of not just media, but investor class in Southeast Asia? You travel around, you see everybody get along to go along. We just don't mention China, we leave it out?
No, I think people are very respectful of the large Chinese operators who come into these various places. But what I believe is the case across most of Southeast Asia, there's a merchant class. And indeed, some of these merchant families, places like Malaysia, have a lot more generational experience with capitalism than the people pretending to run China have today. That is to say, the mainland China people. So I think China is in for a very rude awakening, particularly if, for example, the SEC and other Western regulators were to say to large companies, you've got to break out your financial results in your key markets. You know, you've got to show us how much money you're investing in China, how much money you're making in China, what your net position is in China. You've got to break out your balance sheet, your cash flows, your income statements. That's something I've been hoping for many, many years. I think if you could do that work, and the CEOs of the big companies have to do that work, they know that they're not really making, most of them, much money in China. And many of these big players have a lot of net assets locked in a place. They're not going to easily be able to get that money out.
Charles Ertel in Penang, Malaysia. Gordon Chang, I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.